Hello, my name is Carol Revelt, and I've been assigned to kick off this technical conference, and it's in docket number 140732 in the matter of a request for agency action to review the carrying charges applied to various Questar Gas Company account balances. And I will be passing around a sign-in sheet, so everyone can sign in. And I think everybody knows each other. Do we need to go around the room, or are we good with that?
Remind me.
Are we streaming?
We're streaming. Okay, yeah.
Let's just go.
I'm Zach Myers. I'm an intern with the commission.
Okay, I hadn't met Zach.
Okay, well, we'll go around because we are streaming. I'm Carol Revelt with commission staff.
Dan Ortiz with the Office of Consumer Services.
Eric Horton with the division.
Charles Peterson with the division.
Tricia Schmidt, AG's office for the division.
Barry McKay with Questar Gas.
Kelly Mendenhall with Questar Gas.
Jennifer Clark with Questar Gas.
Michael Hammer with the commission.
I introduced myself earlier. I'm Zach Myers with the commission.
Becky Wilson, commission staff.
Artie Powell with the division.
Gavin Mangelson with the office.
Brendan Salter with the division.
Doug Wheelwright with the division.
Okay. All right, there we have that. And now we'll just turn it over to Questar Gas to explain how the carrying charges are currently being applied.
Sure. So this will be quite brief and less contentious than the technical conference we had last week. So I just wanted to maybe give you a kind of an overview of the various accounts that we are using a carrying charge with, and kind of the mechanics of how they work and some of the history behind them. So we'll just briefly go through each of them. So I believe there are seven accounts that we assess interest on. And we'll go through each of these a little more in detail, but this is kind of a summary. As you can see, we use a 6% interest rate on all of the accounts, which makes it easy to keep track of when accounting comes to us and asks us what interest rate they should use. It's 6%. So, and it's been 6%, I can't remember, but in one of the slides I've got it. So,
I just want to clarify, Jim. These are the ones that all have the same interest rate. We did not list some other accounts that actually have interest rate charges on them, but have been specifically called out. We can talk to you about those. But this is give and take, so ask questions as we go, and we'll kind of show you the timing of how all these came about.
Yeah, so with the exception of customer deposit, well, and actually probably extension area charge, those are both one-way charges. The rest of these are balances that can go, you know, positive or negative, and so the interest rate is being assessed both, you know, if the company is under-collected, we're receiving interest. If we're over-collected, we're paying interest. So that's what the both ways means.
So Kelly, the EAC shouldn't say both ways?
Yeah, I don't think, we'll get into that a little bit more, but I can't think of a time when we are under-collected. Well, actually, we're always under-collected in the EAC because the company goes and pays for it up front, and then the customers pay back over time. And the EAC is a little bit different in the fact that this is kind of used as a discount rate to come up with what the payoff needs to be.
As soon as they're paid off, we stop charging.
Right.
So we wouldn't over-collect, if that makes sense.
So just to give you a brief example, let's say we went out and we built out to an area, and the cost to extend out to the area was $1 million. And then we would assess, typically how an EAC works is we would assess them on their bill, you know, between $10 and $20 a month. And so we'd receive that money back to pay for that $1 million. And the 6% would be used as kind of the discount rate to figure out, okay, if I'm getting, you know, $20,000 from these customers every year, and I discount it back, you know, that's how we figure out what the $20 is,
sure.
is by using a 6% discount rate. And that was actually changed in a recent case. So let's just go through these one at a time. So the energy efficiency.
I was just going to say. My understanding is that even though we have the EAC still on the books or on the tariff, there's actually no community right now that
That's correct. So Brian Head was the last community, and they met their time requirement in November of 2014, and they've been dropped off. So right now, we still have an EAC provision in the tariff. We'll show you kind of the language, but there are no communities under that provision right now.
In fairness, we actually did, just last week, have somebody approach us wanting to know if there's still a possibility. And our response was yes. This is a criteria that's under. If you want, come and ask us. We can run the analysis for you. But it is set up that it would have to be approved by the commission to have it be a charge that we could be. So there's a process that they would go through and be able to have people say if it was a smart idea or not a smart idea.
And I can tell you, we have communities come to us quite often, and once they see the price tag, that kind of leave and don't want to talk anymore. So, so the first one we'll talk about is energy efficiency. The balancing account that's used for these costs is account 182.3, which is a deferred asset account, deferred regulatory asset account. It was approved in docket number 05057-T01, and the 6% is actually explicitly called out in our tariff in this section. So you can see it states that we'll use a 6% simple interest. Most of you know that there was a period of time when the balance in this account was quite high, and we've been working towards paying that balance down, and this past year we finally paid it down to hopefully where we're going to be near zero. You know, we'll be above and below. It's kind of a fluctuating thing because of the way that the payments come in. But we've successfully been able to draw the balance on that account down so that the interest expense is low on both sides for both the ratepayer and the company. So questions on that? Yeah.
Yeah. DSM relative to some of these other accounts is relatively mid.
Right.
But do you have any idea why 6% was chosen?
Uh-huh.
Because that was what all the other accounts.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And you'll notice
that's a really technical answer.
There's a common theme here.
Uh-huh.
The probably the original, when we get into the past, you'll see the history going back. But yeah, 6% is what we've been using in the past for years. And when we were setting up these, we just kind of were pegging at the same interest rate that was used in the past. So.
Actually, all right, okay, let's respond to them. We'll tell how all of them got to 6. You called it out on that one. All we did is we linked it essentially to the gas pass-through 191 account, which was then at 6. And that has always been that way. Some of these others will have had different rates that brought it to that rate. So there's a story of how all of them got to the 6. They didn't all start out being 6. And we can tell you that.
Okay, so pipeline integrity, this is the operating and maintenance expenses that we use to comply with the federal PHMSA requirements for pipeline integrity and recently distribution integrity management. So this is, once again, these costs are deferred in account 182.4, a deferred regulatory asset. And the original, this original regulatory asset was approved in docket 04-057-13, and when I said 13, I meant 03. So we messed up on the docket there. So what happened then is that in this docket, the commission granted us approval to begin to track these costs, even though we were outside of a general rate case. And then in the next general rate case, the way the order is written, we were allowed to begin to collect those expenses in rates. So in the 2007 rate case, which is, I believe, 07057, I'm going to guess 13.
You got to come up with a reason why you got 13.
No, I think it is 13. That was the first time when that deferred account balance was actually, the expenses were actually included in rates. And so as part of that, we had been using a 6% interest rate, and that 6% interest rate, the expense that was related to that was included in rates, and they ended up being approved in that rate case. And they've been, you know, adjusted in the 09 case, and then most recently in our last general rate case. So we've had three rate cases where these expenses have been reviewed and adjusted. There's no explicit tariff provision that calls these out. In fact, this deferred regulatory asset isn't called out anywhere in our tariff. So this is one of the only ones where it's not explicitly called out in the tariff.
It is in the 04-03 order, and then it's also approved in the 07 rate case order. But to answer your question on this one, Artie, this one always has been at the 6%. We pegged it to that when it started. And these are the two most recent ones that came into existence, and we were pegging it to the 191 account on purpose at that time.
So just kind of dovetailing on that question a little bit, and again, this is maybe a bit of an assumption.
Sure.
But if the pass-through carrying charge changed.
And it has. We're going to get to that one.
Okay, because I was just going to say, would these all kind of move at the same time, or would you kind of...
I think that's what this docket is all about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're on to it.
So historically, to answer your question, that's kind of been, we pegged everything to what within 191 was. Now, going forward, who knows what will happen, but that's kind of the premise that we've used to calculate.
I guess the reason I asked that is because it seemed like you guys were saying before, everything got pegged to the 191, so all of a sudden I started looking at the 191. I was just wondering how much that has been over time and just see how everything else has moved. So
it's an excellent question because we should talk about that right now.
God, I'm good, right?
So the pass-through cost.
I didn't read that slide.
The pass-through cost originally, I think, so now Austin's my pass-through expert. This is the docket where the carrying charge was first introduced, correct?
Correct.
And it was 9%?
Yes.
Okay. So in docket 805710, we began to charge and pay interest, and at that time the carrying charge was 9%. And then in the 95 docket, we realized that maybe that was a little too high, and so we came in and I think...
Was the division.
Was it the division?
Yeah, division.
Division realized it was a little too high, and came in and asked that it be reduced. And so 95, it got changed to 6%, and that's where we've been ever since. And you can see, once again, our tariff, we've got it called out here, 6% simple interest both ways. So that kind of gives you the history of where we've been.
We can. Do you know what the kind of the reasoning was behind those two interest rates?
The 9%.
The 9% and the change.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
It's a guy who read those orders recently. Do you?
Go ahead, Austin. I'll tell you our history of how it got changed. If you can remember that, but not all.
I don't.
It was really
in 78.
It was high interest rates.
Here's your history. In 78, we had no pass-through. We were fighting rate cases, pancaked rate cases, because we had gas costs, general rate case costs, everything was all in one. And we started, and so you actually, if you go back into the statute, we had a pass-through statute that was developed for just the gas company at that time. And it was some pretty hotly contested cases because the commission and the division were frustrated that we were pancaking rate cases on top of each other because our gas costs were just skyrocketing at the time. And so we essentially came out and developed the pass-through case. It was being litigated, worked back and forth from 78 to 80, essentially finalized in 80. If any of you tried to buy a home in 1980, you might remember you could have had to pay. I'm looking at really young faces here. Not everybody.
Yeah,
you're at 12, 14, 16% interest rates.
Right.
And so this was kind of pegged to something that wasn't the long term, but it wasn't necessarily all of the short term, but I don't know for sure. Daryl in 95 said, hey, it looks like interest rates have subsided here.
Long term or short term debt?
Debt.
Right. So the 9% was tied loosely to a debt rate.
Yes, and that's essentially where we went with the 6 when we changed in 95, and essentially all the new ones that we've come up with since 95, we've pegged to that same rate, which answers your question.
So if you went back and reviewed that order or some of the testimony in the $195K, she would see it saying...
My memory is...
It should be something close to the company average.
This happened in the 95 case. Darryl was trying to see if we could get things spelled out in our tariff or where we ought to be. This was slightly before our CO2 issue. In fact, it was 4 years in front of the CO2 issue. Coming out of the CO2 issue, we even got more scripted, where every single sub-account that's in the 191 account, any material changes that go into the 191 account, had to be called out, told in advance on that. So this was just kind of a forerunner. We were in the process of doing a settlement with the division as it related to costs that would be being included, and some of those happened to be gathering. So that was around the gathering time that was a hot issue, and I think he just piggybacked the interest rate issue at that time, is my memory. I've noticed that orders, as we've gone back and we've read them, don't give you a lot of backstory sometimes. They just give you...
Probably have to go read the testimonials.
Yeah, you have to go through all that. Yep. But again, it was tied, I think, to the debt rate.
Any other questions on the pass-through? Okay. Next one's customer deposits. and I think this is one that's changed over time. But this is actually part of rate base, this account. And basically what a customer deposit is if we have a customer who is... got less than stellar credit, or we've had issues with in the past, we're allowed to collect, I believe it's the highest month bill as a deposit. And then because we have this cash, we pay interest on that as an expense. So it's a 6%, once again, 6%. I think, didn't this get changed?
Just checking with Austin.
I think In that 82 docket, I think, is when it was introduced.
Okay. And it was a 9%.
My memory is it was at a higher rate then. We could try to verify it with that one.
Well, it definitely would have been a 6% in 80, because nothing was a 6%.
Then. Right.
So
right.
It probably was just tracking with the pass-through then.
So, in case any of you want to get a little better interest rate on your passbook savings.
Yeah.
Get a chance right now.
Make a customer deposit.
Uh-huh.
All right. How much?
6%?
Don't give me that. No, I tried.
How much?
I called up Greg.
I'm leading him off. Now, we still see customer deposits from people, those that we do. Feel that we need to for business reasons, is the 6% interest that's calculated. And those who just voluntarily try to see if they can, we say we don't need a deposit from such a fine, upstanding, responsible person in the community.
Yeah.
Always paid your bill.
So you really got along very well.
So the moral of the story is, miss my payment next month. Call me up for a deposit, and I've got $10,000.
Just add zero, right? Is that all?
This is a good docket.
The one piece I guess I left out of there is that money doesn't go directly to you. It would just go to the other ratepayers. So
helping. Oh, there it goes.
So the interest we pay go to the other ratepayers?
Yeah, wouldn't it? Yeah, it does. It is a reduction to revenue requirement in a rate case.
Huh.
That interest expense.
I'd say, Eric.
It was a good idea.
Yeah, well, last
year. Most of my ideas.
Okay, moving on to conservation enabling tariff. This was set up the same time as the energy efficiency, but it is a 191 account instead of a deferred regulatory asset. And so it's a revenue account. And once again, we've explicitly called it out in our tariff, 6%.
Purpose, we pegged that one to the 191 at the time it started.
Any questions on that one? Okay. Last, the extension area charge. And this one actually has a little more history to it. I believe in 96 we had a handful of communities that we went and received commission approval to get this extension area charge. And at that time, I believe we were using our weighted average cost of capital, right, as the discount rate.
That's what we applied for, and that's what it got approved.
The upfront payment and then the revenue stream that came from those customers from their customer from their EAC charge every month. We were using the weighted average cost of capital as our discount rate. It turned out that they were having a hard time paying it off using that discount rate, and so I can't remember what year it was. Barry can, probably.
It's fairly
this is
recently.
A couple of years, eight or something like that?
We actually tried a couple times. We came before the commission specifically seeking just in its own separate issue to see if we could reduce the interest rate and also discontinue charging double margin rates in southern Utah for those that had. The commission turned us down on that application, and then it wasn't until the next general rate case where it was an issue that it was again brought up, and at that time it was moved down to the 6%. We had discussions off and on between that time of pegging different interest rates along the way, and ultimately I'd like to point out that in that docket we also had approved by the commission that using the 6%, if they haven't paid off within the predetermined time that it was approved by the commission, and most of them were approved under a 15-year period, then it paid off. We stopped charging the rate regardless of whether or not they've been able to pay off. Does that make sense?
The rest of the customers paid.
So, being very forthright, right, Brian Head, using a 6% discount rate, was not able to meet all of their obligation after 15 years. But at the end of the 15-year period, we stopped charging the rate. So you could go and calculate what that rate was, and it would be something less than 6%.
So and all the other communities did pay off.
Yes.
And by changing to the 6%, it actually helped most of them, you know, shave a year or two off of their payout or payment deadline. Yeah.
Could you refresh my memory? Did the GSS schedule come after or before the EAC schedule? Because, you know, we had that other schedule, General Service South,
right,
something like that for, and it was the same reason, wasn't it?
Yep.
Is that?
It came before.
It came before, and it was replaced by this?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, not replaced by this. This is a separate used in dealing, right?
Right. When she says replace, that's what we begin using as a typical approach, even though GSS stayed in our tariff.
So if somebody came in today, it would be under this one.
Extension of charge. GSS has been removed from our tariff.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, I think that covers all.
You got one more.
One more. Who can forget energy assistance? So this one was approved in the 09... Well, is it 09 or 10 rate case? I guess 10. Docket 10057. I think it was the 2009 rate case, but this was the first filing. So that's the docket number. Now this one is once again another 191 account collecting 6% interest. The balance on this one hasn't been very much because just to give you some background on this, we collect $1.5 million in this fund every year, and then we pay it out to customers who qualify. We have about 30,000 customers who qualify, and so the theory there is we collect $1.5 million from the customers who don't qualify, give it to the one or to the 30,000 that do qualify. So typically, the balance in this account is quite low, and the interest hasn't been very substantial. So. But it is another account that's receiving the 6% interest. So basically all of our 191 balancing accounts and all of our deferred regulatory assets, the 182 accounts, those are really the accounts in play here that are getting assessed the 6% interest rate. I think that's it. Do you have any questions on that one?
Yeah, I have a question. It's kind of a general question. Well, let's consider this low-income assistance. Say you have $1 million balance in the account. Who's paying the 6% interest?
If I have $1 million balance, I am paying the 6% interest. The company is.
The company is?
Yeah, because it's $1 million that it owes to its customers.
So supposedly, or presumably, the company is taking that cash balance and investing it somewhere.
Or using it, right.
Yeah, we've got a really good interest rate in a bank right now.
You do?
Yeah.
Lucky you.
But if you were to look at this stream, you know, that revenue is coming in every month, and we have customers applying for the credits every month, and the winter months are the heaviest.
Sure.
And that's when the revenue is the heaviest. So, yeah, we've never seen $1 million balance.
Well, I thought it was just an example, or just a hypothetical. I'm just trying to understand where the money for the interest rate comes from. And then that interest that the company pays,
That goes on any of the accounts.
That doesn't go into a rate case as saying that was a cost that we incurred. So
essentially, it's below the line.
Below the line interest.
It's below the line interest. Okay.
On all of the accounts.
With the exception of the customer deposits.
Okay, that's above
the
line.
That one goes into the rate case.
So that's above the line.
Yeah.
So the integrity management goes into the rate case, but the interest is...
Actually, that one, the interest will go into the rate case on that one as well. Yeah. That's part of the balance.
Okay, so yeah, go back and get our summary. Let's make sure.
Okay, so this one would be below the line. Yeah, the interest expense here would be part. So what happens is when this deferred regulatory asset gets, or liability, gets expensed, the costs and the interest get expensed to the, I think it's the 887 account, the some O&M account. So that one would be in the general rate case. That one, the interest there just goes into the pass-through, doesn't it?
Yes, yep.
So it flows through, and customer deposit, that one goes in as a other revenue, so it actually goes to reduce the revenue requirement. This one goes right into that account, so that one goes into rates. Extensionary charge really doesn't apply, and then low income. So no, I'm trying to think maybe the low income is probably the only one that goes below the line.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, but the conservation enabling tariff is... I mean, you set the rate in the case, but you determine the balance and the interest outside of the case, so I'm not sure that one...
But I think the interest goes in as part... Actually, this one does,
too. The interest is booked to the balance.
This one does, too.
Yes, I think we made a misstatement on that. So I'm glad we went back and summarized it. I think on all of these, the interest is booked to the account.
So the interest follows the cost or the revenue into whatever account it's going into to help. It either increases the cost of revenue or decreases the cost of revenue, depending on which direction it's
going. So they're all going in,
yes,
in one way or another.
Yes.
Exactly.
You're thinking.
Well, I've been thinking, like on the conservation enabling tariff, you set the rate that you're going to collect, but you don't know the weather.
That's right.
And you don't know the interest that you're going to be collecting.
Or
so
the customer's usage.
Right.
And so that, how could you put that, I mean, you establish that in the CET rate, but it's not in the rate case, is
it? No, I mean, it was set up in the mechanism. So the mechanism is, you're allowed this.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You collected this. Did you collect more? If you collected more, then we need to give back to customers what we collected more of, plus interest. And so that goes into the balance.
So the rate is calculated on that difference plus the interest.
Yeah. But it's not set in the rate case.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Past each other. The mechanism itself to have interest be calculated on was set up to begin with. The interest rate, we would view all of these as being something that could be determined outside of the original application, which is what's being considered right now.
And Barry, you mentioned some other accounts that you had other interest rates that...
Well, one of them's past due accounts, someone's
those
more
okay,
to...
Yeah.
We have underground storage, which is the gas itself that's collected in the pass-through.
Uh-huh.
And that has the...
But that's really a rate-based account. I mean, now, yeah. Now we're talking about yeah. rate-based accounts that are getting our weighted average
right.
cost of capital.
Oh, right.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, we have
12% part of... These are definitely separate, so...
Which actually is pretty good rate in today's credit card world. Those are the only three that I could think of that had something different right now that are separately tracked.
Okay, past due accounts and
deferred payment agreements.
Deferred payments. That's another customer agreement.
Is there any other customer care type things that we have in our tariff? We haven't linked anything else to this 6% interest rate. Other than these.
And then what did you say about the line, the gas in the lines? Or
it's our storage gas.
Storage
and that's been
gas.
Determined in pass-throughs. And it's balanced that it's gas that we have already had produced that or bought that's in storage that has a return calculated on it, a commission allowed return that changes every general rate case.
Okay.
So that's the way to cost capital.
That's right.
Right.
Way to cost capital.
Okay. And there's nothing else that you are aware of that you would be having a carrying charge directly applied to?
I mean, that's our brainstorming based on the division saying, hey, bring us everything you know.
So you don't know, you don't have anything like...
Yeah, give us an example. Maybe we have.
Let me see. Contractor deposit retentions.
We have retentions, but I think we don't charge interest on those.
Or you don't pay interest.
Don't pay interest.
Okay. I don't see anything else here that might apply to you. So, customer overpayments.
We're looking to see if we can get those.
Well, you had those. You did have those.
No, we don't pay interest if a customer overpays.
We don't, though.
But didn't on the one where you had the transponder thing? Didn't they get interest on that one?
We did. That was a commission order.
Yeah. Well, that was a one-off kind
yeah.
of thing.
Resolution of that is we were told to write some things off with interest, and we did it on general rates as well as pass-through rates. So,
but again, that isn't ongoing.
We try not to have that be an ongoing issue.
So just, you're talking about the weighted cost of capital and things like that, and the interest rate that's used to develop your return on your return on interest, your overall rate of return, that's the long-term rate. It's not it's in the long-term, it's over 1 year, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Typically it's 15-year, 10-year, 20-year. Those are the bonds that we purchased for our debt side. Yes.
And right now that rate is at...
it's 5.25 in the last
5.25
case.
5.25 on that, yeah.
You haven't done a bond issuance lately, have you?
We did.
Yeah, we did one
just last year.
At the end of 13.
Sorry, we're in 15 now, so it just a year,
okay.
A little bit ago.
Okay, so what I meant, I should have clarified, in the last 3 or 4 months, you haven't done anything like that.
Now, going back to the summary page again, almost all of them are set up as kind of carrying charge on it. On interest, the only one that got a little outside of it, just an interest operating your expenses, your revenues, that got a little bit outside of it, is the extensionary charge. And the extensionary charge is rate-based, that was out there. We were trying to figure out what a discount rate was. It originally started as the allowed rate of return, which is how we capitalize our business to extend all of those lines. It was in an effort to try to help this be more reasonably paid off. We pushed with customers, and it found its way into being linked to that interest rate. But so to me, that's one that didn't have consistency of pattern on how it got in there. That was typically a rate of return type of analysis that we had done. But we're not saying that we don't think that it should continue to be in that category. It made sense. It was a resolution of the issue. It was essentially a settlement, and we're thinking that we ought to keep following that pattern, and if this interest rate gets changed, it probably ought to change too.
Any other questions? Last chance. Last call.
Are you going to make this live show available?
It's already
all done.
You've already done. Complete with the one title.
Did you want to make that one correction?
Yeah, if that's okay.
Yeah, and then we can just send it to me. We can repost it with the correct.
Oh, okay.
So it's on the website, right?
Yeah. It's an 03 case instead of the 13.
Yeah, I would have known that, so I didn't care.
When we pulled up that order today, it was a really nice, the 13 is a beautiful pass-through case if you just want to read through that. It's
nice. Beautiful, huh?
Evelyn mocked us on us not being able to find one at. But,
okay, all
right, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay. I don't think we have anything scheduled for the rest of the week, so you guys don't have to